Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by the UFCW and the BCTGM Internationals, both in the Washington, D.C. area. We appreciate their support. Joining us today, we've got Kevin Hickerson. He's president of the Fairfax Education Association. Kevin, welcome back.
Charles, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. I understand you're out and about doing building visits, visiting with teachers, paraprofessionals, and the kids too, I'm sure. How's that going? What's going on?
Oh, it's great. You know, as part of being president of this of the Fairfax Education Association, I made it a point to try to visit every single building in our county. We have over 200. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them this year, but I'm trying to get to 90 by the end of June. And right now I'm on number 53. And the great thing is I get to meet people, members, non-members alike. I talked to a couple of them today about their paychecks and how they want them handled next year. I talked to them about working conditions. Basically, I'm getting the temperature of our county to be able to advocate for the best way possible. So to me, there's nothing better as a people person to get out there and just talk one-on-one with people.
Kevin, I get it. And, you know, getting out there and talking to people in the field, about 5,000 of your bosses is a wonderful thing. And quite frankly, no two conversations are the same, but each and every one of them needs to be treated with the importance that they all have. You know, there's a special reverence there.
Exactly. And, you know, it's you know, being a leader of a union, it means that you have to be intentional with your people. You have to be cognizant that they have a voice as well. And to, you know, get out there and actually visit the work sites, that's how, you know, to me, especially in a quote-unquote right-to-work-for-less state, I need to go out and, you know, advocate for us and, you know, build those one-on-one relationships, because without them, then I don't have a membership. So I need to do that. It's intentional, intentional.
There you go. Now, Kevin, I'm also sure that when you're going to each one of these buildings, you're meeting and greeting with the principal, the vice principal, and some of the other staff.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you're hearing from them?
Well, you know, the biggest thing here in Fairfax County right now, and when I talk to the principals, first of all, I try to tell them that, you know, while there might be some times where we're adversarial, we're actually on the same page on a lot of things, especially when it comes to making sure that every child has a great education and making sure that they get the funding that we need. So I talk a lot about that, but another major issue is just like across the country, is the hiring of our of teachers in this county. We had over 2,000 hires last year. Our teaching workforce is somewhere around 18 to 19,000 teachers, and we hired 2,000 new teachers last year. We had 200 teaching vacancies at the start of the year. And so this is a nationwide phenomenon, and it's because of low pay, disrespect of the profession, and we're finding that young people, high school students and college students, are not willing to go into education fields because of that.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think part of the problem with young college graduates not wanting to go into teaching is a lot of the rhetoric that we hear directed against teachers by those who want to privatize the school systems, those who want to turn it into for-profits. I mean, my gosh, unfortunately, a lot of those young college graduates that want to become teachers, they don't get into a school district, so they end up going to work for one of these charter schools, and they work there for 2 years, and they've had enough of it, and they leave the profession entirely.
Sure. Honestly, it comes to the demoralization of the profession, and you know, there's a lot of insidious reasons. The cynic in me, I'm a very optimistic guy, but the cynic in me comes out when we hear about this stuff, Charles, and we hear that, you know, they're trying to do this on purpose to keep wages down. And that's not how you get the best teachers possible. And that's to me the main thrust of the national movement to basically denigrate the teaching profession. I'm not saying that's happening in Fairfax County. Fairfax County is trying its best to steer against the tide. And I believe that the administration here actually wants great teachers. By the way, if anybody's listening, you want to come find a good job, come to Fairfax County Public Schools. But they're offering signing bonuses. They're offering great places to work. Innovative teaching and great. We're expanding our awards program for Teacher of the Year, for Administrators of the Year. It's basically we're trying to create this culture that is just pro education, pro public education, and that's to me that's a step in the right direction.
Well. And Kevin, right now we're talking with Kevin Nickerson. He's the president of the Fairfax Education Association, and I think he's being a little shy. Kevin, you've been doing a good job of reaching out to the community. And you guys, at the beginning of the year, had a little bit of a shortfall that you needed to make up. And you got out there and you talked to moms and dads and people in the community, whether or not they had kids in the schools. You talked to businesses and you said, hey, you know what? You give us a chance, we can educate the future employees that you're going to need. We can get them prepped for, vocational training. We can get them prepped for college, so on and so forth. If I was a teacher, that sounds like, the kind of environment I'd want to teach in. Then again, you mm-hmm. live in the most expensive county in the entire country, don't you?
We're in a very expensive area here, and our neighbor to the slight northwest of us, Loudoun County, is just along with us. And it's very difficult for teachers to be able to find, living conditions here.
Yeah, it's like being back in college. You got to have four teachers living in the same apartment.
I was talking to a individual teacher today, and she had this great smelling lunch, and we were all like, starving over it, and she said, yeah, my dad made it last night because she's living at home with her parents,
yeah.
And some people can do that, and they want to do that, and they choose to do that, but shouldn't we have it? When you're an adult, when you're 24, 25 years old, shouldn't you be able to afford a one bedroom apartment on your own at least? And that's a problem here in Fairfax County. So, like I said, the county is trying to do a great job to reverse it. We're trying to do a great job as an organization and working with our brothers and sisters at the Fairfax County Federation of Teachers to try to educate the community that your teachers here, your ESPs, the cafeteria workers, the custodians, they need to live in this community and they need to have a good salary to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And my wife is a teacher by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And now she did spend time in the classroom, but she's outside the classroom. She's providing some of the outside supports for direct support for the classrooms. But the long and short of this is folks, we don't get the best and the brightest as for teachers if we're not careful. I mean, we want to nurture the best and brightest to come in and teach for a number of different reasons. But, my God, Kevin, for how long have teachers been, because of budgetary issues, been buying pencils and notebooks and erasers and all that kind of other stuff for the classroom because they can't get it for the classroom? And then
when I came into this profession 13 years ago, I was like, buying stuff. What is it? What is this crazy? It made me think back to all my teachers going, did they have to buy the supplies for me to be an educated student? And it shocks the heck out of me, man.
Yeah. And then you turn that around and then, you've got the revolving charge account at the teacher store. You can't go buy it without buying another gross of pencils, but yeah, I know. I loved it. I got to play with all the erasers and stuff like that. But okay, but the long and short of this is, and then you turn around and those people that want to vilify teachers or they want to vilify the school district or they own a bunch of property and they run for the school board because they want to lower taxes.
Right.
Now, look, it's hard enough being a teacher. And some of the things that have been stuffed down teachers' throats, like, my God, testing just for the purpose of testing. And having to be responsible for all of the aspects of a student's life, not just what's in the classroom or what's in the school that you can control. I mean, my God, if I go to my doctor and he tells me, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop eating a pound of pork every time you sit down and get a little bit of exercise, and I do none of those things and I fall over from a heart attack, is it my doctor's fault or is it mine?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And
Kevin,
yeah,
hold that thought, because, you know, I ran you right into the wall. We got to take a short break. We'll come back, okay?
Thanks.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio.
As President Donald Trump rolls back programs that help slow climate change, national security experts say it could pose major problems for the U.S. military he's also trying to build up. Defense Council member Brendan McKinnon with the Truman National Security Project says he didn't spend much time thinking about the environment until being deployed to the Arabian Gulf in 2008. That changed his mind. He says the sole mission for he and fellow Coast Guard members was protecting the one functioning Iraqi offshore oil platform.
The Defense Department has long recognized climate change not just as an environmental threat, but as a threat multiplier throughout the world because it magnifies the issues that our military is deployed to deal with.
President Trump has argued that rolling back the EPA's Clean Power Plan is part of a larger strategy to minimize government regulations that he says cost jobs and slow economic growth. But his environmental legacy is prompting some major pushback, including March for Science demonstrations in Maine and across the country later this month on Earth Day. Retired Marine Corps General Stephen Cheney, CEO of the American Security Project, says Trump is ignoring the fact that climate change makes the military's job harder and more dangerous. Cheney believes policies to fight a warming climate will make the nation safer in the long run.
We feel strongly that the Clean Power Plan was a good idea, that we need to be transitioning over to renewable energies. We need to get off of fossil fuels, in particular coal.
McKinnon says 99% of scientists and a majority of Americans, including Trump voters, don't want to ditch the Clean Power Plan. He points out there are opportunities for Mainers to stand up for their beliefs.
A science march coming up later in the spring. So I think anything like that where you can to make your voice heard by the administration so that they're hearing from more than the 12 coal miners that are on the stage with the president that think that's a good idea.
So far, there are four March for Science events scheduled in Maine for April 22nd in Machias, Orano, Portland, and Sanford. Mike Clifford, Maine News Service.
It was 1973. Helen Reddy's song, I Am Woman, was at the top of the charts. The feminist movement was in full swing. A group of Boston women office workers started talking about how they were treated at work, how men made more money for the same jobs, how they couldn't take time off to care for their kids without putting their jobs at risk. They were feisty, empowered, and fed up. They founded 9to5, a membership organization of women working in low-wage jobs, inspiring a national hit song and movie. Whether it's fighting for better leave policies, for equal pay for equal work, to ban the box, or strengthen the safety net, 9to5 is on the front lines of putting our issues on the public agenda, and they're winning big. Find out more about how they're raising the bar at www.9to5.org. That's the number 9, T-O, number 5.org.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated.
The library!
On Jones' house.
The bus stop.
And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community. Join us today by phone. We've got Kevin Hickerson, the guy I just cut off unmercifully at the end of the break. Sorry about that. He's with the Fairfax Education Association. Kevin, welcome back.
It's okay. It was just a flesh wound.
Yeah, the Knights of Knee. So in any case, but what I'm trying to say is look, you know, teachers as a whole are up against so many different things. It's real easy to say, oh, it's a teacher's fault, or all those teachers, they want too much money. And, you know, we'll pay $50 an hour to somebody to to mow our lawn. But, you know, my God, we want to pack 500 kids into a classroom and expect a teacher to turn them all into Albert Einstein.
Right.
Go ahead.
I just see that you're right, and I think it's, you know, it's definitely the denigrating of, you know, what we do as educators. But I see this, Charles, as a larger movement across this country, and I know you're well aware of it as you're knee deep in it, of denigrating, you know, public service workers across the country. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, our firefighters, our police, you know, our workers in you know, the county government, the service employees in the union, industrial union. So, I mean, we're talking about all of them, and, you know, even the ones that the community say they support, you know, they support the Boys in Blue, and that's great, but they still don't put the money where their mouth is. So, you know, in this county alone, we have our police are suffering through 10 years of low or stagnant pay increases.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, try having a safe, happy community without great, you know, service workers like the EMT, firefighters, or the police.
Right.
And I think that's a trend nationally.
Yeah, and Kevin, you know, I gotta say, nobody ever, none of the politicians ever complain about all their perks.
Right.
Yeah, none of the politicians complain about their perks. Okay, and what they do for themselves, but they will complain about the civil servants that are out there. Okay, and let me. You know, I'm a former civil servant, okay? I got out of the military. I went back to work for the military as a civilian, doing the same job that they had spent millions of dollars training me to do, and I continue to do it in the Air Force Reserves, and I continue to do it as an Air Force Reserve civilian employee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was no difference in how I did the job as a civilian or in military status. And
right.
There was no difference between the way I did it on active duty versus the reserves. But you know something? There were a whole bunch of people were lined up saying, oh, you know what? You know what? Those civilians, I don't know. You know, maybe this, that, and the other thing. You know, and I got to say this, that for many of the functions that we have in this country with our government, you know, our military could not do their job without the DOD civilians working there.
Sure.
You know, and they always, the politicians always seem to go after the people that take those jobs, not for the money and the glory, but because they care about their community. And oftentimes they're veterans and want to continue to serve in the civilian service after military service. You know, it's the cops, the firemen, the paramedics, the teachers, the nurses. Mm-hmm. Those people that are out there, you know, the forestry people, my God, what they do to forestry people?
Sure.
You want to...
They hand them a quarter of their paycheck and you know, and cut them by billions of dollars on the same side.
Right. And then they throw them out of an airplane to go jump into a fire to put it out with a shovel.
Sure.
You know, and I'm like, you know, really? But oh my God, you know, well, they get the politicians have to go after somebody. So when you hear a politician talking about, oh, you know, we have to best value for the employee. Guess what? The best value are those teachers that are teaching in the public schools, that are your cops, your firemen, your paramedics, the people that plow the roads and fill the potholes. Those are your best value. Time and time again. My God, time and time again, it has been shown, it has been proven, it has been documented repeatedly that civil service are the best value for the money anywhere in this country. And why some people go after our cops, firemen, paramedics, and teachers and nurses and all the rest of the people out there, shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on them. You guys are doing such a great job. I mean, my God, you know, here in the Pittsburgh area, you're one of your counterparts. They got the test scores back, you know, from all this mm-hmm. mandatory testing that they had to do for the school district. And you know what? The kids did a really good job. And the scores came up. And all kinds of wonderful things happened. And do you think for one second, any of the media here in the Pittsburgh area or greater Pittsburgh area covered that and said, hey, good job, teachers? No. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. So we got to brag about you guys, and you guys are doing a good job, and we appreciate it very much. And, you know, how do we help?
Well, I think the big thing is to talk to, you know, the people in the community, especially, you know, teachers on my end, but talk to your friends and neighbors that are, you know, in the county services or your local services, and ask them what they do. And you'll find out that, you know, they do have a love of the community. They wouldn't serve it otherwise. As you said, it's not because of the great pay. But have those conversations and then talk to the elected officials and tell them we pay for what we value in our community.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to. And if we say we value it, then by God, we should have it. And we should find the ways to fund it to make it happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, quite honestly, we're not asking for a lot of money when it comes to education. And I mean, my God, Kevin, we had the early childhood education folks here in the Pittsburgh area in the studio talking about pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
And for every dollar that you put into pre-K, you're getting $8 to $10 back as they are moving through elementary school and on up to high school.
Because it takes away the, you know, I was a special ed high school teacher, but it the early childhood interventions in the pre-K really helps prevent, you know, people like me from having a job later on. But that's a good thing because it's the benefit of the child, and that's what we're talking about. My daughter is getting the benefit of special ed preschool right now, and I don't know what we would do without that benefit in this county because, you know, she desperately needs it. And we fund what we value, and if we value our children, we should fund, you know, competently and for public schools.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, man, you guys keep up the great work. You are doing a really good job in Fairfax County. And, you know, my goodness, I'm glad to hear the community supporting you guys. And if there's anything we can do to help further get you guys getting the message out to the rest of the community, you let us know, because you and everybody else in the teaching profession, again, you know, you can't control anything more than you can control.
Right.
But the things that you guys have, you know, but when you guys grab the bull by the horns, you're leading it down the right path. And for all the people out there in the community, moms, dads, go see your kids' teachers. And you know what? For everybody else, maybe you had kids in school, or you may have kids in school one day, you can go see teachers too. They have open houses at the schools. Go see what's going on. Gavin?
Yes.
I've talked your ear off, man.
No, you're preaching the word, and I appreciate all your help and support, and we will definitely be in touch with you if we ever need to have a better amplification of our voice.
All right, brother. Hey, listen. Hey, do me a favor. Stay in line. I do have a quick question for you, but
sure.
We got to get going. How do we find out more about the Fairfax Federation of Teachers?
Sure. You can you can contact us at the Fairfax Education Association at on our Facebook page, and we're at FEA_Fairfax and at fairfaxea.org.
There you go, brother. We appreciate it. Kevin Hickerson, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.